He is Robin Leach. He is Jaden Markin. This is Car Keys.
And I think Jay and I have a lot to talk about for this week's show, and maybe I'll start out with some things I've been reading this morning before we are on this show, and they concern the following topics, and I'll start with them, with Volvo and the Polestar 2, which is a 2021 model of a Volvo, all electric, and there's an article in one of the magazines about the disappointing range in the Polestar 2. We have discussed ad infinitum the issue of electric vehicles, plural ranges, as being one of the problems of early production electric vehicles, and there have been constant improvements being made, but the issue with the Polestar 2 as far as Motor Trend is concerned is that it doesn't meet up to the Tesla Model 3 and even the Chevrolet Bolt in the basic electric range department of those three vehicles, with the Polestar coming out short of both in a car that's going to cost $60,000 versus the Model 3, which starts at $39,000, and the Bolt, which starts or goes for around $37,000+. If I said miles for a Tesla, I meant dollars.
So what is the range on the Polestar?
233 miles, according to the article, with a full range of its 78-kilowatt-hour battery pack.
That's so 2015.
What? Yeah, so 2015, yes.
Yep.
This car is coming out for next year. It may be in production already. If so, they are falling way short of what they need to be doing to bring this vehicle to market, especially if it's going to cost $60,000+ in base model. I think it's base price. And almost monthly, there are electric range gains in several vehicles that are already on the road, Tesla being one of them, and they're being done through electronic improvements in programs of electric usage, increased battery sizes, and the like. So that covers the Volvo issue.
Is that? I'm just curious. Is that the most annoying commercial in the history of the universe that I'm actually breaking my legs to turn off every time it's on?
I haven't seen one, so I can't answer that question.
If it's for the Polestar, can I just recommend that the whole thing just be dropped?
Well, I don't know. Anyways, the next topic I want to discuss before we turn it over to Jay is, and I'm really excited because I'm sort of a fan of the Honda Ridgeline pickup trucks. I have not been a fan of their looks, but I have just seen the look of the new 2021, and I think it's awesome, and it's going to take off as far as people's alternative decisions to buy a pickup truck if you don't need the F-150 Raptor, the new Dodge Ram, whatever it is, with the 702-horsepower V8, and the same kind of thing from General Motors in the Silverado, which is Chevrolet, and the GMC equivalents. Jay, I'll leave it to you to comment on that when you see a picture of it, but I'm really excited about it. It's finally, as the headline of the article says, it's finally trucked up. And trucked up, we've talked about front ends in pickup trucks, or I certainly have in long time ago shows, and it's all about the faces on pickup trucks on the road these days. I've never seen so many alterations of the Chevrolet line of pickup trucks and GMC line of pickup trucks as I am during this 2020 model year and going to 21. They've got different hoods, they've got different grills, and they all are looking very masculine, very powerful, and I think that's what's going to happen in the design and the pickup trucks going forward.
The Ridgeline is still a auto
lightweight pickup truck.
It's not a pickup truck. It's an auto body front drive platform. Right?
Well, it is a pickup truck, anyways. It is a front drive. You were correct, but at least it's for those people who do not need to have the big bad three versions of pickup trucks. And it does its thing very well for those who like it. There are a few running around here, You know, that's it's an alternative to the subcompact pickup truck of Ford and Chevrolet and Nissan and the like, I think. And I just think it looks really great, and that's all I'm saying for the listeners who want to listen to me about Honda pickups. Be it as it may, Jay, it is a pickup, and it can be used as a pickup.
Yeah, I think there will remain very few people who buy it as a work truck, and that's fine. I mean, I'm not saying there's not a niche for that, but it's still
no. But I think sales are going to take off for those people that might alternatively think about a Canyon, the midsize Ford or Chevrolet versions of the pickup trucks. They don't really need a pickup truck to do with the heavy duty stuff that the real pickup truck owners want real pickup trucks for. If you want to call it not a real pickup by comparison.
I see more the I see it more as competing with like the Jeep Gladiator, which is more of a less.
That's true. I think you're right about that. But the Jeep Gladiator has got, of course, four wheel drive, and has Rubicon versions and all that to go over the Rubicon trails and mountains, as you know, as big as you can find them.
Yeah, what's the price difference between the two? I mean, they're probably
actually the Hondas, I think, is around $40,000 range. It's right up there, which sort of surprised me. I haven't looked at any stickers in any Honda dealerships or lots. I haven't seen very many of them. I think they're selling just about everyone they get. But the couple of times I've seen anything about pricing, they seem to be in the high 30s base or mid 30s base, and easily will go over 40 if you add some of the packages that this article talks about Honda coming out with, which they say all the Honda packages are expensive, running $3,000 or so for whatever they add on to the base level vehicle. Anyways, it's really a great-looking truck for those or alternative for those who want to look at a Honda version of a pickup truck versus the normal ones everybody knows about.
Well,
and my final discussion or topic for the moment will be the issue with Tesla. And apparently there's an article in Motor Trend about Tesla Model Y's serious production problems, and they have a list of the most notable ones, and there are some pretty egregious problems coming on some of the Model Y's coming off the assembly line, which getting to quality control, there is a problem, I think, in the Tesla quality control department of letting some cars go off assembly lines without adequate in-production fixes before they get to the delivery areas. This article has numerous examples of owners sending photos to on sites showing SUVs back seats and seat belts were not attached to their bases, leaks coming through the roof, metal brackets, high voltage battery metal casings and high disconnected electrical components, all of which have apparently made it to owners for problems to be done after they've taken delivery. And the most egregious one I read in this was a owner who picked up a Tesla Model Y, and within 2 hours of driving it, his moonroof fell off or blew off. And
yeah,
apparently it hadn't been glued down or put in properly.
There's a lot of attention on Tesla when it comes to quality
control. That is correct.
And I think they get more, they don't get cut any slack. I think every manufacturer that puts out a new model has quality issues, assembly issues when they first put out a car in the market. And I think that, and I'm not being, I'm trying not to be partisan here, but the Tesla Y also made it to market in the middle of the pandemic, which we know has disrupted a bunch of supply chains around the world, and that's affected Tesla as much as anybody else. That's not an excuse, don't get me wrong. But I do think they get more attention, and I do think that, you know, the quality of your production does improve. You know, they had the same issues with the Model 3 when it came out. And Model 3s that are being cranked out now are just perfectly fine.
Not as far as the trim fittings and that kind of things are concerned, because I now have started to take a look at the Model 3s more closely when I see them, and I recently ran into one in one of my real estate showings. And I noticed right away misaligned door trim, chrome trim on the Model 3 that I saw. And I saw it very quickly. I did not bring it to the attention of the owner because I don't like to do that kind of thing, but I noted it. And now I read this article, I thought it was worth talking about. Yes, Jay, you're right. New models often have glitches in the production situation. And yes, maybe I'll give you a little bit of credibility on the pandemic issue, possibly making it worse. But somebody's got to know what's going on at this level and ought to take care of it. And I'm sure probably they are, because these complaints don't go out in the newspapers. You don't hear them in the news. Read about them in the newspapers. You read about them online chat sessions and that kind of thing. And Motor Trend happened to pick up on this and has put it up online on their latest version of their magazine that I just read about before we went on to this show.
So I think Tesla is still leading the electrification of
They are indeed. Absolutely
and,
correct. And
to that
and
effect, I think it's still going to be we're going to start with luxury vehicles first. Polestar is a lot. You mentioned Volvo's Polestar sub-brand. It is a high-end car. Mercedes is coming out with a bunch of their sub-brand name is called EQ, and then you have the EQS, which is the S-Class version of their electric vehicle. You have the EQE, EQB, and they have a bunch of cars and SUVs coming out in the next year or two. And obviously, coming from Mercedes, they're not going to be inexpensive. So we're going to keep seeing, electric cars being more expensive, at least for some time. Even though you find the less expensive ones that are being increasingly popular as well. The Hyundai Kona is a great vehicle that's right around $40,000, and has actually become the vehicle of choice. I don't know if you saw that, for a bunch of police forces in Europe, which is pretty interesting. Having a Kona electric cop car.
I think I also saw one for a Prius cop car somewhere recently in an article, and I suspect that you're talking about maybe village police forces, not the Autostrada police forces. In that, while those cars could certainly go probably just as fast as the more powerful ones, I think the battery range might have them run out of pursuit. If they were running full blast. But I think electric cars, I would expect to see electric police cars in Vail, Colorado. They did have, I believe, hybrid police cars for a while, some years ago, in the form of maybe they were Priuses at that time. But, those are village police forces that are basically going around village speed limit areas and making it not very difficult for them to pursue a vehicle that they want to get for going through a red light or something like that.
Yeah.
But as you are implying in your comments, the electric cars are here, the trucks are here. There's a lot more news about electric car introductions coming and truck introductions coming. Ford is ballyhooing their F-150, as I think we said. It's going to be the most powerful. It's going to beat all the competition. And, of course, they start, making those noises, and you can be sure that the competition is going to read all that stuff and figure out how they can leapfrog the Ford before very long if they don't leapfrog them before they actually get these trucks to the market. So it's on the truck level, it's going to be certainly a big who's the strongest truck situation competition going down on the truck wars. It already is in the diesel and gasoline versions of how much they can pull or how much they can, tow and all that kind of thing. So it's going to move to the battery electric ones just as it already exists in the regular fuel, diesel and gasoline versions.
So did you go, on another note, have you gone down Car and Driver's 10 best list?
No, but I was going to compete. You're going to get to that in a minute. I'm going to turn it over to you. Motor Trend's got something also, but I hadn't gotten a chance to read it before this show. Motor Trend's got their 10 best coming out for, I think, SUVs, the SUV line. So I guess we're into the 10 best of all the magazine's choices for the coming year. So go ahead, Jay.
Well, I think there's no big surprises. The Honda Accord makes the top 10 list yet again, and that's probably for a record number of years now.
They're perennial. I mean,
yeah.
And I have to tell you, I happen to like a lot of the versions of the Honda Accord that I'm seeing on the road. Is that the fastback version, or is that another model?
No, it's that fastback version that came out in 2018.
Yeah, well, it's all over the place. I see a lot of them. I don't know how their sales are really going, but in this neck of the woods, they're very noticeable. I actually like them. I don't know whether you like the looks of them, but I think they're sort of, I guess it's because they're so different, but they do look pretty good in my opinion. And obviously, a lot of people are buying those or leasing them, and it may have to do with leasing, deals that are better than other vehicles. Because I don't know how many people are actually true Honda enthusiasts going into the purchase or leasing game for their first car, but they are certainly a neat looking car in some of the versions, and I guess they've got some performance versions too.
Yeah, not so much anymore. There's no V6 in it anymore, but the Golf GTI makes the list yet again, and that's the current version of it, and we know that you've talked about the new GTI coming out.
Yeah, and isn't that going to be the only Golf brought into the U.S. for 2021?
At least initially. I think that the for now, anyway, yes, I think so.
Okay, go ahead and start talking. Go down
your
list.
Well, in the interjection department, just because it seems that my job is to say something about the adverts, I will say that the VW Atlas advert is every bit as good as the Volvo is just unwatchable and unlistenable.
So, well, that's good because I've seen the car, the Volkswagen Atlas Sport.
Yeah, what do you think of it?
I have very mixed feelings. It's a chopped version of the the regular Atlas, which in just makes it a waste of space, defeats the whole purpose of a big SUV. And I happen to have a Volkswagen Touareg, as we know, which is no longer sold here in the U.S. And in my mind, there's absolutely no comparison in what those two cars, how those two cars compare. Period. It's okay.
I'm curious about the whole chopped small SUV thing, which was...
You mean big on the outside, small on the inside? I don't get it.
I don't get it either, but I also, just in terms of, lugging people and things around, I don't get it. I don't get it.
No, well...
But, I mean, somebody one day will explain it to me, but I will say, just in terms of marketing, they're good ones. And one of the things also about sports being back is that, there's just an endless array of products being promoted. Listen, I have another question for both of you. It's coming on safety time, and I'm sorry. We've got bunches of new people here, which is fabulous, and I alluded to this last week, but if you're going to stop in the middle of the road, check your GPS or talk to someone. I'm really not clear how this level of it's like people aren't connected. People aren't driving. They're just in some sort of, virtual world, and that's great, except that there are other people on the road, not to mention turkeys and dogs.
You need to do like me and take a big chill pill, and the new me says I put up with all those people behaving somewhat erratically.
Because you're selling real estate.
Huh?
I said because you're selling real estate?
No, because there's no point in getting, you go through... the center of our towns, and there are a gazillion people in the middle of the day, and they are going to be jaywalking, and they're not going to acknowledge you coming through town, and you know what? That it is what it is.
All right, and what about e-biking right smack up the middle of the road?
What?
I mean, so at some point, yeah, and you're absolutely right, taking a chill pill, but at some point, at some point, it's not going to end well.
Right, and once in a while it doesn't, and then then the blame finger goes around, and But I think we all have to accommodate other users on the road. I mean, that's and in these times and on weekends, like holiday weekends, like this weekend, you have to be prepared for that. You're walking, you're driving along, let's say Route 41, in whether it's on the Connecticut side or Massachusetts side, and there are a bunch of parking areas or non-parking areas for the Appalachian Trail, and there are a gazillion cars parked alongside the road. You know to expect people opening doors and coming out or walking alongside between the road and the cars. And, you know, so slow down. And
definitely a good point to make. And you're right, Jay. The roads are, the parking areas along the road, the parking areas are filled where they have them. They're not very big anyway. And the lines of cars lining 41 at all juncture points. And I think there are four between here and Egremont, or between Salisbury and Egremont, including Connecticut and Massachusetts. And there may be a couple others that have minor trail heads to them that not many people know about. But if you see these cars parked on the side of the road, as you were saying, and it's an early morning when they're assembling to start hiking, or even at the end of the day when they're getting ready to get in their cars, those parked on the road are extremely dangerous when they open their doors. And it's amazing how few people understand what they're doing when they're opening doors if traffic's coming down the road. So that was a very good safety tip.
Now, says me, who when I go to, let's say, JFK and a bunch of cars are parked alongside the highway, even though there's a cell phone lot sign 100 feet ahead of them, There, I just honk my horn and you know, long, obnoxious honking. But, you know, different places, different attitudes.
Correct.
I was being facetious here.
And, P.S., I'd just like to interject that I was not talking about the bloody holiday weekend. I was talking about regular, everyday, are you serious? But I will still try and remain calm.
Says me.
Right, exactly. You're not, You have a patchy record on this, and Robin, of course, is perfect in every way. And what's his view
about what?
Everything.
Well,
everything car.
No, mostly
about the cars.
Mostly
that are
about
coming
people.
Along. I think styling is coming back into form to try to differentiate many of the models. And I don't know whether this is relevant to the topic you asked me to comment on, Jill, because I was away from the phone for a few minutes. But along with something like the Ridgeline and even the Honda vehicles and all the like, there are some new styling cues that are coming onto some of the cars. I think the designers are getting the word out that they need to differentiate a lot of the models going forward, and maybe we're going to see some pleasant newer designs and better differentiation as we go through the early 20s. And it's going to be interesting to see about the electric cars designs. I want to close. I know we're just about out of time. I want to close by saying I finally found an e-tron owner, and I had a little chat with the owner, and they were pleasantly excited about their e-tron. And one of the things they did comment on is that it had a good, distinct look about it. And I don't know how many owners or buyers of cars want distinct looks, but I'm certainly one of them. And, Jay, I think you have a similar opinion as that. Something that looks interesting but is somewhat distinct in some form or another. But this e-tron owner liked it, and so I guess there are fewer of them on the road than Tesla, of course, as we know. But it bodes well for Audi if they can sell more than they're selling right now.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.